We're talking today with Dr. John Dardis, who's with the Irish Embassy in our nation's capital, representing Ireland. And you're actually involved. You're an agricultural researcher, and you're actually effectively the head of agriculture within the embassy. Is that correct?
That's correct, Ron. I wear many hats. I'm a wheat farmer. I'm a wheat breeder, and I represent our industry's interests throughout the USA.
Ireland's got an interesting story. You've got some things that are really going on that are exciting.
Yeah, and I have to apologize, Ron, because I get carried away when I talk about them because it's personal to me. But, you know, a recurring theme at the likes of this conference or wherever I go is a frustration that our industry is often neglected. And listen, we felt that at home as well. What our industry is doing now is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. We are doing over 500,000 tons of beef exports a year, which puts us in the top five globally. We're the size of South Carolina, and we're doing that off grass. I think the particularly interesting and exciting thing about our industry is what we're going to do on dairy. And it's all arising from the fact that quotas are disappearing back home. That should see us as a top five dairy country within the next 6 to 8 years. So it's an exciting time to be in farming.
I know that in traveling with our Oklahoma Ag Leadership Program a couple of years ago to Ireland, there is a good substantial part of your country that can produce grass almost year-round.
Yeah. People often ask me about how we get our protein to deliver our beef, but really our big asset is grass. And by a gift of God, we think we produce it better than anybody else. We have a Gulf Stream that gives us a higher DMD, keeps our cost base low. But that's our secret weapon.
Now, regarding your dairy industry, it's not necessarily fluid milk that you're making real strides in, but some of the products of milk.
Yeah, I think the key to our export success, and in the last 3 years, we've grown our exports by about 30% to $12 billion. The key to it is a kind of a diversified, high-value product as opposed to a commodity exporter. So, particularly in the infant milk formula business, we're doing over 12% of the global infant milk formula business out of our island. And we're doing a lot of sort of nutritional products. We're doing functional foods. So it's the high-value dairy products that we're trying to corner.
When we think about the other aspect of agriculture, you mentioned the beef industry. It seems like that there's a real battle continuing in this country over how to best raise beef, whether it's a more sustainable project, you know, no hormones, no antibiotics, these type of things. Your country really didn't seem like that was is a pretty well settled issue almost.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my father was a beef farmer. And in the 80s, we lost the use of certain technologies. There's nothing we can do about that. We move on. You reinvent yourself. Really, the fact that we export 90% of what we produce means we've got to be so in tune with the consumer. We can't afford to mess up. So we just have to get on with it, and we do.
You're, in a part of the world that did experience a great deal of loss because of mad cow disease or BSE. That's pretty well a gone issue now. Is it an issue put to bed?
Yeah, I think BSE is. What I try to tell people in America is you've got to understand how that affected us. You know, it devastated our industry, absolutely devastated it. One of the concerns we have is that we just seem to go from one issue to the other, and it's very hard to handle the knee-jerk media reaction. And all you can do is be 10 steps ahead of everything. One of the exciting things we have is a project called Origin Green, which is a sustainability project. That is seeing our exporters sign up to particular metrics. Now, behind all that, it's internationally audited. But again, it means that you're a step all the time ahead of regulations and you're giving the consumer what they want, which sells more product.
I guess following a lot of the BSE concerns, you had the major outbreak of FMD in the British Isles as well.
Yeah, in fact, at the time I was a Department of Agriculture inspector and volunteered for border duty with Northern Ireland. You know, one of the upshots of that was to see people who have no real interaction with rural life get behind the movement to make sure that we didn't have that disease hit our shore. But to witness pyres of animals burning, that was a defining moment for a lot of people back home.
You heard Ambassador Quinn today talking about the World Food Prize and the efforts of Norman Borlaug. You obviously have some affinity to Mr. Borlaug because of the Green Revolution and the developments in wheat. What do we need to do to be able to successfully feed the world? In other words, from your perspective as both a farmer, as an agri-official with the Irish government, what do we need to do?
Stop a lot of the nonsense. Currently, we have a trade discussion going on between the EU and the US. Really, to make a difference in understanding, we've got to be talking to each other, and we're not doing it. We're going in with preconceived ideas about what the other side is doing. I think we've got to use every tool in the box, and part of that is biotechnology. We've got to think drastically different, and we've got to empower people. The fascinating thing with the World Food Prize, which I went to last year, is it brings in farmers from developing countries. Let's listen to them. Let's not tell them what we think they should do. Let's listen to how they're making a difference and give them the tools to make that difference.
Do you think we can get past the nonsense, as you call it?
How do we do that, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it boils down to what we think the consumer wants. And I really believe the key drivers in this are the large retailers who know exactly what you buy and know what your decision is. So as opposed to asking you what you think, mm-hmm. what you're actually doing is a different action. And that informs what decisions are taking place now.
A lot of our producers have, of course, concerns with groups like HSUS, the Humane Society of the U.S., and others. You have some parallel-type groups in Europe as well, don't you?
We do. I think, you know, you look at the European Union, we have 28 member states with drastically different views of agriculture, and yet we make it happen, and we have to make it happen. We do have a very powerful lobby group, for want of a different word, but I think what we try to do back home is listen to them and learn from them. It's not easy. It sometimes means people are going to get hurt in our industry. But again, it all goes back to my message on things like Origin Green and being ahead of all this nonsense.